The golden age of network radio on Here's to Veterans.
Here's to Veterans from the Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry. Yeah.
Here's to Veterans, a salute from this radio station to former servicemen and women, produced by the Veterans Administration. Performances by top stars in the early days of network radio launched Here's to Veterans on its long public service career. Commenting on this special series of those shows, John Hickman.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're ready to recall one of radio's funniest programs. But first, how many of you can identify this next voice?
I've got a story for you about a cute little girl named Millie, who served as a link trainer instructor during the war. When she became a veteran, Millie decided she'd like to learn aerial photography. She talked over her plans with the Veterans Administration and enrolled in a school of photography under the GI Bill. To earn extra money, she worked as a receptionist at a nearby airport. Right now, Millie, lovely name. Millie is well on her way toward that aerial photography diploma. She's using the GI Bill the way Congress intended it to be used. First, figuring out clearly what she wanted to do, then consulting every step of the way with VA vocational advisors. Results? Millie has done a good job of reestablishing herself as a working, self-reliant citizen. Now remember, veterans, the VA is ready to help you towards your future life's work. But it's up to you to use your benefits so that they're a real help to you and your community.
A timely tip from, that's right, Harold Perry, the great Gildersleeve. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, the lovable water commissioner, originated as a character on the Fibber McGee and Molly show, and was so popular there that he soon began his own radio series in August 1941. Gildy was a bachelor and the uncle of two children, Leroy, a pestiferous boy who always called Gildersleeve Unc, and Marjorie, the teenage girl. Leroy was played by a gentleman who later became famous as Julius Abruzzio on the Phil Harris Alice Faye show. Can you recall his name? Well, try Walter Tetley. Marjorie was played by the well-known actress Loreen Tuttle. This cast of characters was supplemented by such folk as Judge Hooker, Bertie Lee the maid, and Peavy the druggist, and of course all resided in the town of Summerfield. And one of the great running gags on the show were the many attempts made to marry Gildy off, particularly to that Southern belle, Lila Ransom. Well, the past becomes the present, for here again is Harold Perry as the great Gildersleeve.
Robo!
Bertie will go.
I'll go.
Who the devil would come to call at this hour? This is time for eating, not ringing doorbells. Bertie, if that's some kid, tell him to go home.
Yes, sir, I'll tell him.
And tell him to wait outside, Bertie.
Tell him to go home, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Is Mr. Gildersleeve at home?
Yes, sir, he is. Come right in.
Ooh, that's Rumson Bullard. Well, pull up another chair there, Leroy. Marjorie, tell Bertie to set another place. Hello,
Valerie.
Hey, won't you join us?
No, thank you, Gildersleeve. I'm sorry to interrupt your meal, but a matter has come up of transcendent importance to the whole neighborhood.
Is that so?
Yes. As a property owner, you'll be most interested, I'm certain. Are you aware that a streetcar is being moved into the vacant lot in the next block?
Well, Leroy was telling me something.
Yes, it's true. Imagine, a streetcar. Obviously, it will be an eyesore to begin with. But when you think of the kind of riffraff who may be planning to live in it, well, do you see what it will do to the values of property on this street?
No, what?
It'll ruin them, that's all. We have a neighborhood of some distinction at present. What we've got to do is restrict it. Allow no new houses that cost less than $10,000 to construct.
$10,000? Why, this house of mine only costs $6,000.
Oh, well, it's worth far more today. Worth $12,000 to $15,000 easily.
Well, you don't say.
Well, of course, if the neighborhood is kept up. This thing is a serious challenge to our democratic rights, Gildersleeve.
Yes.
I'm organizing a protest. Legal steps, petition, and so on. If you'd care to join me, naturally your public position would be of great assistance.
Well, if you put it that way, anything that's good for the city, I'm for.
Good for the city. And good for ourselves. Can I count on you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I am very much obliged to you, Gildersleeve. No, don't bother to let me out. Sorry to have interrupted your dinner.
How do you like that? He never even said hello.
Yeah. Don't criticize Mr. Bullard's manners, Leroy. He's a very fine man. Well, he is. Eat those carrots.
Well,
More than 300 years ago, the great Sir Francis Bacon defined the value of education in three short words. He said, "Knowledge is power. A person with know-how is a better bet to succeed than one without it." Congress has made available the most liberal and complete education and training benefits ever provided for American veterans. It's Uncle Sam's way of giving you veterans a well-deserved chance to make up for the opportunities lost while you were in the service of your country. When used seriously and with sincerity, the way Congress intended, education and training can help put a fellow's feet squarely on the road to success. Remember, veterans, knowledge is power, and your educational benefits offer you a splendid chance to get that knowledge. Use them wisely. Make the most of them. If you're not quite sure about your capabilities and the way you hope to use them, talk things over with the trained experts at your nearest VA regional office. It's the way to reestablish yourself in your community as a happy, self-reliant, tax-paying citizen.
Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. He has been convinced by his persuasive neighbor that the little trolley car which is being converted into a residence up the street is a menace to the whole community. And so, like a modern Paul Revere, he sets off, armed with a petition, to rouse the sleepy burghers of Summerfield.
Madam, do you know what's going on right up the street?
No, what?
Sign here, right on the line there.
But I...
Just sign. Yeah, thank you very much.
But what's going on?
I'll have to tell you later. I'm in a rush. It's not the trolley car. I've got nothing against trolley cars. It's the principle of the thing. Why, do you know what would happen if we don't put a stop to this? The whole town could go to pot.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
It's true, Peavy. Unless we get some restrictions with teeth in them here, well, you're not so safe, you know. You've got an empty lot next door to you. How'd you like to see a trolley car moved in there?
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll tell you. I figure nobody wants to live in a trolley car.
Maybe so.
I figure if a man lives in a trolley car, it's because he hasn't got any other place to live.
That's his tough luck. He doesn't have to run down my place by moving into the same neighborhood.
Well, he has to move somewhere.
I take it you refuse to sign my petition. Is that it?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I refuse.
You will sign it, then?
Well, I wouldn't say that, either.
Peavy, if you could ever just once make up your mind about anything...
Mr. Gildersleeve, I like to oblige my customers. I really do. But sometimes they come in here with a...
Don't sign it to oblige me, Peavy. I'm asking you to sign it for your own sake.
For my sake?
Certainly, but hurry up about it if you're going to. Got to get these signatures over to Mr. Bullard. We're presenting the petition this afternoon before the town council.
Oh. Mr. Bullard is in on this, too, is he?
You bet your life. He's a pretty smart operator, Bullard. The rest of us wouldn't do badly just to tag along with him. Well, how about it, Peavy? Yes or no?
And if you don't mind, Mr. Gildersleeve, I don't think I'll tag along.
All right, don't. We don't need you anyway.
$5. That's a dollar even. Better let me catch that windshield for you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thanks, Ben. Sorry to hear your mother's not feeling well.
Well, she's a little upset, Mr. Gildersleeve. I guess we're going to have to move.
Move? Move where?
That's what we'd like to know. We just got the notice yesterday. The fellow that owns the house we're renting wants to sell it.
Well, something is bound to turn up. Don't worry.
Gee, I thought when I got out of the service, I could come home and get a job and take care of Mom and make things nice for her and maybe go to night school. I was all full of plans and junk. Now it looks like she'll have to go and live with her sister in Akron, and I'll have to give up this job and go back to something I hate.
Ben, I can't stand to hear you talk like that.
Well, that's the way it is. And I know a lot of other fellows that feel the same way. They'd rather go back to the Navy, even. Why? I know one fella, he was so hard up for a place to live, he went and bought himself a trolley car. Was going to make himself a house out of that. Now I hear they're even trying to make it tough for him.
Ben, my boy, do nothing till you hear from me. Understand? Do nothing till you hear from me.
Well, gentlemen, those are the facts. I appeal to you as homeowners, as well as members of the city council, to take action on this matter while there is still time. The issue is clear. Shall Summerfield continue to be known as the city of home, the city of gracious living, or shall it become an overgrown trailer park, a virtual shanty town?
The council thanks Mr. Bullard for his expression of opinion at this time. I'm sure
if
that...
If I might be permitted another word, Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
I had hoped, in fact, I had expected that my colleague, our esteemed water commissioner, Mr. Throckmorton T. Gildersleeve, would be here this afternoon to add his words to mine. I cannot imagine what has detained him, but...
Don't worry, I'm here.
Here he is.
Here I am!
Quiet, Leroy. Yes, pardon me, ma'am. Pardon me.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Are you through, Bullard?
Why, yes.
Then sit down.
Well?
Mr. Chairman, members of the council, citizens of Summerfield, I'm sorry I'm late. I don't know what Mr. Bullard's been saying to you, but I can imagine. Because I darn near made the same mistake myself.
Gildersleeve, what are you up to?
Quiet. Let me ask you people a question. What is Summerfield? Is it a collection of $10,000 houses? Is it a group of well-kept lawns? Or is it people?
It's people!
My little nephew. Thank you, Leroy. But just the same, pipe down, will you? Folks, the point I want to make is this. The biggest asset we have in Summerfield, the biggest asset in any town, is not its real estate, but its people. Our greatest obligation is to them. To the old people who have made Summerfield what it is. To the young people who will make it what it will be. There are families that have been broken up for want of a place to live. Now, I've just been talking to Ben Waterford. You all know Ben. Ben's been in the Navy for 3 years, fighting, while you and I were back here, safe as a church. Now he comes back and gets himself a new job. Then all of a sudden, he and his mother find themselves with no place to live. Mr. Bullard here might say that that's Ben's tough luck.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, yes, you would. Well, I say Ben's tough luck is our tough luck. By confound it, Ben's fixed my clutch for me like you, after been giving me trouble all through the war. I say we need more men like that in Summerfield. I'm not just talking about Ben. There are hundreds of others like him. We've got an emergency here, and we better recognize it. This is no time to be spending our days figuring how to pass restrictions and keep houses from being built. We need more houses. Let's get a roof over everybody's head first, then we can start dolling them up. Thank you. It's just like the war. We were never up against anything like that before, but we licked it. And if we get together, we can lick this. Don't tell me Summerfield can't take care of its own people.
Just a minute, please. Just 1 minute. Quiet, please. There's a gentleman there I think would like to be heard. Won't you step up here, please, so we can hear you?
Well, all I said was, bully for Mr. Gildersleeve.
Bully for you too, Peavy. Folks, I want to make a little confession. As some of you know, I've been going around town like our friend Bullard, circulating one of those darn fool petitions. And I want to say here now that the only man I ran into who refused to sign it was Mr. Peavy here. Peavy is the only man in this town who's got any sense.
Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve, a delightful recollection from nearly 30 years ago. This is John Hickman, hoping you'll join me again soon for another Here's to Veterans show. Until then, so long and thanks for listening.
A return to the golden age of network radio on Here's to Veterans, produced by the Veterans Administration. This radio station has contributed broadcast time to this program in the public interest and joins me in saying, here's to veterans.